Did you feel that? Something just happened that many of us take for granted. Another year is officially in the past. A chapter is closed. And now we look ahead to a new year. The mistakes, missteps, and missed opportunities of the past give way to hope, excitement, and joy for the new life God gives us. Pursuing Christ with each new dawn. Through His grace, we get the chance to reset the clock, to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. As we work, play, rest, and worship, we know His mercies are new every morning. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, arriving at next year's end through His faithfulness. So whatever we do this year, let's give it to God, seeking His will, trusting His plan, and taking this opportunity to restart.
Amen. Hey, welcome to the new year. Would you stand with us as we gonna get ourselves ready to go into our worship time? As always, we are going to go over our vision statement as a church and as individuals together. Would you read this with me? We desire to be a safe place to be in process, a place where everyone realizes they are in process. None of us have arrived. Guys, none of us are perfect. We've all got next steps to take no matter where we are in our faith walk. So we don't look down on anybody else, and we just continue to pursue God in our own walk. And then we come together and just worship and praise Him. And that is what we are going to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then let's begin to sing to Him, because He is worthy of every song, every breath we could ever take. So, Lord, we just come before You this morning, God, and we ask You to come into this place, come into our hearts. We ask for Your grace and Your truth, Your peace and Your love to just overflow here. We want to meet with You as we come here together to just sing praises to You as Your church. So God, come into our hearts, come into this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who You are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, freed and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I was made to be tended in a grave. I was called by made for more.
And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running by me? I know for I am yours. And I was made for more.
I was made.
I wasn't made to be tending a grave. Called by name, born and raised back to life again, and I was made for the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, and I'll worship your holy name. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sing like never before. darkness. My God, that is who you are. Cause you are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who, that is who you are. 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 That is who, that is who you are. 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 Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. It's who you are.
Let's sing this in faith.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who.
Father God, we come here today with faith. God, we thank you that faith is putting trust in you, confidence in you. From a human perspective, maybe some of the things we're facing seem overwhelming. But thank you that you are a God that can move mountains. You are a God that can part the sea. Lord, I just pray for anyone today that is coming here with a heavy heart. Thank you that your word says that you're close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. God, I pray for anyone facing a mountain. God, I just pray that you would help them to trust you in advance, knowing it's only going to make sense in reverse. God, we've come here today to say, it's not about us. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. God, we've come here to declare that our life is about something bigger than ourselves, the eternal kingdom of God. Thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Thank you that as our praises go up, your power is coming down, your peace that transcends all understanding. God, just give us the ability to trust you. God, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we've come to taste and see that you are good. We've come to feast on the abundance of your house and drink from the rivers of your delight. And may we find such satisfaction at your table that we couldn't help but invite others to join us. We love you, Lord. Friends, would you now be seated in a spirit of prayer? As we go into our prayer time, I'm going to give you some prayer prompts, but let us just remember that prayer is talking to God. It's listening to God, and today we're going to be studying Psalms chapter 42. In Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 says, "As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Would you pray with me? God, when I feel empty after the holidays, help me to thirst for you more than anything else. Remind me that you are the living God who satisfies my soul. Let us pray. Psalms 42:5, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Let us pray. Lord, my soul feels downcast and disturbed, and I bring that honestly to you. Help me to put my hope in you and trust that I will praise you again. Maybe you do not feel downcast today. Pray for those that do. Let us pray. Jump down to verse 11, and it's kind of saying the same thing. "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Let us pray. Father, when sadness and stress lingers after Christmas, help me to speak truth to my own heart. I choose to place my hope in you, my Savior and God. Let us pray. Thank you. Now, if you look up here, you'll see an empty chair. And this empty chair represents the empty chairs in our sanctuary. And, you know, it says in Luke chapter 14, then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. And this year we're going to be praying for the empty chair. And who is someone that God has put in your life that just a simple invitation, a simple prayer, love, inviting them to church could help fill those empty chairs for God's glory? Because God says he wants his house full. Let us pray. Lord, show me the people you want me to prayerfully invite so that your house may be full. Let us pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to now watch our CCC news.
Well, good morning and welcome to Community Celebration Church. We are so, so grateful that each and every one of you are here. And if today is your first, second, or third time joining us, we want to say an extra big thank you for showing up. We have a welcome card that you can find in the chair back in front of you and on our website. And if you want to fill out one of those and bring them to the welcome desk after service, we have a gift to give you just to say thank you for being here. Now we have some really exciting announcements coming up. This week, our Wednesday night programming is back. We are so, so excited, and we have programming from nursery kids to pre-K to elementary, middle and high school, and even for adults. We have some process groups that we would love for you to join. So if you want to check out our website for more info, especially on those process groups, or if you just show up on Wednesday night, we will be happy to get you where you're looking to go. We also want to remind you that we are still looking for more people to join our incredible team in CCC Kids and CCC Youth. And so if you're still thinking about signing up to help out and to impact young people's lives forever, make sure you head to our website or reach out to a member of our team. And lastly, if you are going into 2026 praying for a year of healing, we want you to know that our church is here for you and we want to support you on your journey. We wanted to share a little bit about some of the groups that we host at our church in order to help people on the journey that God has for them. Our church is proud to host AA, Al-Anon, Living with Suicide Loss, Pregnancy and Infant Loss, and even more support and recovery groups for whatever you're going through. So if you would want to check out our website or even reach out to Pastor Tammy, we would love to get you connected to your people who can be there for you as you grow and heal on your journey with the Lord. Well, we're so thankful that each and every one of you is here today, and we hope you have a great Sunday service.
Hey, would you stand and greet those around you and welcome them to church? Are you experiencing a post-Christmas letdown? You know, you think about it, maybe you were super excited about Christmas with your family, the decorated tree, the exchanging of gifts, the Christmas music on the radio, and it was such an exciting time, and now it's done. You know, I learned something this week, and that is there's something called the post-holiday blues, or the post-holiday letdown. And I didn't realize this, but 64% of people feel more stress or a mild depression during or after the holiday season. And maybe that's you today. Maybe there's reasons for that. Maybe you had this expectation of what Christmas and the holidays was going to be like, but it didn't live up to your expectations. Someone told me this morning, yeah, I have to actually work 5 days this week. You know what I mean? Maybe you've had some days off. Some of you are miserable because you're on a diet. Maybe you bought a membership at a gym and you're like, Steve, I'm really sore. You know, a lot of times after the holidays, our social time decreases. The bills begin to arise. The winter days are darker. Are you wrestling with the post-holiday blues today? If so, I want us to dive into a scripture that I think will help. It's Psalms chapter 42, verses 1 through 11. Psalms chapter 42, verses 1 through 11. Starting at verse 1. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All the waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my rock. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as the foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Verse 11, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So that is Psalms chapter 42. And it's interesting because the author of this Psalms is called the descendants of Korah. Now, what's interesting about that is that Korah was a Levite who actually led a rebellion against Moses and was killed for it. So Korah led a rebellion against Moses and was killed for it. And yet his descendants became choir leaders. They became musicians in the temple. And I think this is just a great reminder as we read through this passage that maybe your ancestors didn't make the best choices. Maybe your mother or your father or your grandmother or whatever, maybe they made bad choices or whatever. And you feel like, well, no. This is a great example of someone being a generational changer, saying, you know, Korah made that bad choice, but his descendants actually became temple musicians and choir leaders. So I think that's just a good reminder of our past doesn't equal our future. And as we read this Psalms and study it, remember who the author was it, the descendants of Korah. All right? So we jump into verse 1. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Now, the author helps us to picture a bubbling brook, a stream, maybe the green grass, the trees, and there's the deer just drinking that water. And just as that deer depends on water to live, we depend on God, that God is our sole sustenance. C.S. Lewis was a British writer and teacher who lived in the 1900s. And he loved books and learning and storytelling. And he's best remembered for the Chronicles of Narnia. How many of you have ever heard of the Chronicles of Narnia? That was C.S. Lewis. And he also wrote books that taught about Christianity in a clear and thoughtful way. And he was at one time an atheist, and he later became a Christian. And he once said these profound words: God made us, invented us as a man invents an engine. A car is made to run on fuel. It would not run properly on anything else. Could you imagine trying to save money and put water in your gas tank? You know, how well would that work? Not very well, right? God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That's why it's no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. You know, it's been said that the history of humanity is looking for love in all the wrong places. Imagine trying to fill up an engine of your car with water. You say, why isn't the engine working properly? Well, it was made to run on what? Fuel. C.S. Lewis says, as humans, we were meant to run on the Lord. And if we try to find happiness in other places, it just ultimately won't satisfy. Verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? Now, this portion of scripture was not written in English or Norwegian. It was actually written in Hebrew. And that phrase, meet with God, in the Hebrew actually means see the face of God. Get that image. Where can I go and see the face of God? What an amazing privilege to be able to meet with the Lord, to be able to do life with him. And, you know, as we're entering into, I guess we're already into 2026, I just want to encourage you that if you do not have a daily habit of spending time with the Lord in reading the Bible and pray, I just want to encourage you, imagine a year from now being able to look back and say, hey, that was the year that I made my time with the Lord my top priority. Imagine getting up every day and saying, wow, I get the opportunity to see the face of God. All right, so verse 3. Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Now, at this point in the psalm, the mood switches. And the author goes from his happy past to his miserable present. Now, why is he miserable? Well, because he's forced to live far away from Jerusalem and cannot go to the temple. And because the people he's around just continually are mocking God. So imagine if, like, coming, I think some, I heard someone say today, like, coming to church on Sundays is the joy of their week, the best day of their week. So imagine if that was you, like, man, this is my favorite day of the week. This is my favorite moment of the week. And all of a sudden you couldn't come anymore. And then imagine the people that you're around all the time, they're just making fun of you. You know, Christianity is a crutch. That Jesus thing is just for people who don't have much intellectual space. You know, they're just constantly mocking you and mocking God. And that's what the situation is like for the author of the Psalms. And let me just pause here for a moment and say, how often do we just thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to come here and worship together as a family? And maybe that's a goal for you, is to appreciate that. And maybe you come once a month right now, and maybe your goal is to start coming three times or whatever, just increasing your time and being able to just experience the presence of being in God's presence with his church. So then we come to verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, one of the things that I love about the book of Psalms is how honest it is. And I love how he's like, I'm discouraged. I'm disturbed. And one of the things we're going to learn today is that if you study the Bible, that's what you'll see, is people who are honest with the Lord. And yet, often I think modern day Christians think we have to fake it. We have to put on this plastic smile, and people say, how are you? And I'm like, I'm great, but deep down inside, we're really struggling. And I'm not saying you air your dirty laundry to everyone, but I am saying one of the things that you'll see in the Bible, if you read it, is that God prefers real people over religious people, people who always act like they have it together. Now, here's another thing that I see is the psalmist talks to themselves. Now, how many of you talk to yourself? Some of you are like, do I talk to myself? I'm not sure if I talk to myself. Notice how he's talking to himself. And then he challenges himself. Why are you downcast? Why are you disturbed? Put your hope in God. Now, something I learned from this passage is to acknowledge reality. This has been a powerful breakthrough in my own mental health and spiritual journey, is the power of name it to tame it. You may want to write that down. Name it to tame it. In other words, what's going on in your soul, you name it. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm frustrated. Name it to tame it. You can go on Google and get a feeling wheel, and I would take time to just acknowledge how I'm feeling. That's what we see the psalmist doing here, is he acknowledged reality. And then ask the question, why? Why am I downcast? Why am I disturbed? One of the things that I learned a long time ago is that our thoughts lead to our feelings, and our feelings lead to our behavior. So often if you have a feeling, it's what is the thought that is leading to that? And then you find it and you say, but does this align with truth? Because the third step is to recall the truth. My hope is in God. God will get me through this. God is the anchor of my hope. So acknowledge reality. We're going to talk about that in this series coming up. And that is acknowledging the truth of what's going on in your soul. Challenge it. Ask why. Why do I feel this way? And more importantly, is the thought that is leading to that true? Does it align with God's word? So in verse 6, it says, my soul is downcast within me. Again, do you see the honesty? Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Now, one of the things you will see if you read the Bible is that time and time again, people are honest about how they're doing. How many of you ever heard of David, the man after God's own heart? I could go over and over illustrations of him saying, I'm struggling, but look at this one. He said, I'm bound down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. All day long I go about mourning. Or think of Elijah, the great prophet Elijah. After a Super Bowl victory in the spirit realm, he becomes overwhelmed and hopeless. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. This is Elijah. What about Job? You know, Job experienced a lot of pain and loss and grief. He was a very righteous man, by the way. Sometimes we think, well, bad things are happening to that person because they deserve them. No. Job was the most righteous man, and yet all these things were happening to him. But notice what he said. He said, why did I not perish at birth and die as I came from the womb? Job 30:16, and now my life ebbs away. Days of suffering grip me. Isn't that a powerful statement? Days of suffering grip me. And maybe that's how you feel today. You're like, Steve, it just seems like suffering has a grip on me. What about Jeremiah? Now, Jeremiah was actually known as the prophet, the weeping prophet, because he would express his sorrow and emotional pain openly. And he said, cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. What about Jonah? Jonah became very angry because things weren't turning out his way, and he became very discouraged. And he said, now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. What about Paul? Now, someone has said that Paul, besides Jesus, is the most influential Christian who ever lived. So Paul was perfect, right? He never had mental health challenges or, you know, he always was doing great and on top of the world, right? Well, this is what Paul said. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. We despaired of life itself. He says, I'm struggling so much, I despaired of life itself. That's Paul. One last one. This may be the darkest psalms in Scripture. It's by a guy named Haman. And Psalms 88, verse 3, he says, I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. Now watch this. And darkness is my closest friend. That's how the Psalms ends, with this statement. Darkness is my closest friend. Now this is one of the most raw passages of the Bible. It's by this guy named Haman, and he's overwhelmed with trials and troubles, and his friends have shunned him, and he's wrestling with thoughts that God has shunned me. And he ends that Psalms with, darkness is my closest friend. Where did we ever get the idea that if we're a good Christian person, we're going to always be perfect and happy and joyful and all this stuff? No, life is difficult. And here's something that I learn as I read the Bible. I call it the two coins of confession. And the first side of the coin is to confess the reality of your situation. I'm sad, I'm hurt, I'm angry. Darkness is my closest friend. That's acknowledging the reality of your current inner temperature. I'm sad, I'm angry. But the other side is to confess the reality of Scripture, and that is, with God there's hope. With God, there's a future. I may not understand why things are so difficult right now, but I trust the Lord. And I think a great example of this is found in Psalms 30, verse 1. The saying of Agar, son of Jacob, an inspired utterance, this man's utterance to Ithiel, I'm weary, God, but I can prevail. Do you see both sides? I'm weary, God. I'm struggling. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. I'm weary, God. But with you, I can prevail. Do you see the both sides? Confessing the reality of your situation, but then confessing the truth of God's word. So as you probably know, next week, we're starting a series on our book, The Four Keys to Mental Health. And notice I said our book. And I said that purposefully because in many ways, we have written this book together. As you know, back in 1996, God called my wife and I to start this church. And for the first few years, it went really good. But then around 2002, we just went through this season of deep divide. And I need to admit that as a young person, I was very young back then, I didn't probably handle the conflict as best as I could. I would have done things differently today. But I found myself in a season one day where I could relate to that quote, darkness is my closest friend. Now, my wife Tammy saw this before I did, and what she saw was I wasn't interested in the things I was normally interested in. If you know me, I'm a nerd. I love to read. I love to study. I didn't want to do any of that. And the other thing is I was avoiding people, and that's the other thing about me is when I become depressed or down, I tend to isolate myself. And I'm in this situation where I literally felt darkness as my closest friend, and I had a decision to make. Was I going to let the church know? And back then the church was, I don't know, maybe 50 people. Or was I going to just kind of try to hide it? Well, by the grace of God, I shared my struggle. And looking back now, I realize that's one of the best decisions I ever made. And here's why. First of all, I think it helped forge our culture of come as you are. And what does come as you are mean? It means this is a safe place to be in process. In other words, what unites us today is not that we have it all together, but what unites us is that we all need a Savior, that we all need Jesus, that we all need help. So we don't come in here acting like, look how great I am, but instead we come here and say, Lord, I need your grace and I need your truth. Now, here's another thing that was, I'm so grateful that the Lord helped me to admit the truth to the church, is that because I admitted the truth, I could get better. Isn't that deep? But denial keeps us stuck in the dungeon of despair. So I began this quest, this search for tools that would help me with my mental health struggles. Now, the two main mental health struggles that I have wrestled with my entire life is, number one, anxiety. Now, what's interesting is that many of you would look at me and say, Steve, you're such a calm person. I had a doctor explain it this way. Imagine a duck. Underwater, it's like this, right? But above water, it's... And that's the way I can be, is I can come across as very calm, but underwater, I'm like this. And I've had, one of my biggest regrets in life, I'm just being very transparent with you, is the moments that anxiety has robbed from my family. The moments that I was with them, but I wasn't really mentally with them because I was anxious or worried about something else. The other thing that I've always struggled with is depression. All the way back to high school, but back in those days, you didn't really talk about it. But I remember just even the pandemic times just feeling so low and so dark. And really, the Lord impressed upon me the goal of writing this book just so I could help others. And I'm like, you know, if I can just help others to maybe overcome some of the difficulties that I faced, this book will be worth it. And this book is actually released on Tuesday, so it's not even out yet, and many of you already have a copy, so isn't that blessed? But I would just encourage you to pray for this book. It comes out on Tuesday, and Tammy and I are giving every family in the church a free book, so if you haven't gotten one, there's one out there. And here's how you can get involved in this series. Is actually, the series doesn't start this week, so you got the book early. It actually starts next week. But when we get into the series, I want to just encourage you to read the chapter of the day. Read one chapter a day. They're short chapters, and at the end of each chapter I give you some exercises to work through it, and I would encourage you to do that. Get involved in a process group. Now, if you take out your groups and events, we have the four keys to mental health. We'll be going on, let's see, where is it? We'll have one on Sunday morning. Again, most of these start next week, but we'll have one on Sunday morning, this Sunday women's group. There's one Tuesday women's group, Tuesday PM, Wednesday PM. There's also a new one that has just been... Kurt and Amy Anderson are leading one on Monday nights too. That's not on here, but it's on the sign up. And then we also just had someone say that they're willing to lead a Thursday night group at 6:30. So there's also a Thursday one at 11. So I would just encourage you, this is another way to grow in your mental health, is to get involved in one of those process groups. Come to church starting next week. Again, I'm starting this series. Please invite a friend to join us. Again, just imagine if all of us, this represents the open chairs in heaven, and there's people in your life, in my life, that just a simple invitation to come could literally transform their life. Now, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. This is huge, because what I'm about to say is that some people may be out there today and they're thinking, well, mental health is for those people. Well, if you're referring to people like David, Jonah, Elijah, Paul, Jeremiah, Abraham Lincoln, Mother Teresa, Winston Churchill, Charles Spurgeon, yes, it's for those people, but it's also for you. And here's why. If you have a brain, you have mental health. Just as if you have a body, you have physical health. And sometimes we think, well, that's for other people. No, again, if you have a brain, you have a mental health. And maybe your mental health is really good right now. Praise God. Mine is good, but it hasn't always been that way. And in this series, we'll be just looking at how to grow to a new level when it comes to our mental health. Now, if we jump back to the last verse, Psalms 42:11. Whoops, there it is right there. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So today I begin this message by talking about the post-Christmas letdown. The lights have come down. The Christmas music has stopped. The family went home. The calendar flipped. And maybe today you're experiencing that, if the truth were to be known. And the problem isn't that Christmas ended. It's often because we were living on borrowed joy. See, the psalmist teaches us that joy doesn't come from a season, it comes from a source. And that source is God himself. And that just as a car was made to run on fuel, we were created to run on God himself. So don't numb the letdown. Don't ignore it. Don't spiritualize it. Instead, do what the psalmist did. When you sense that heaviness in your spirit this week, acknowledge it. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Acknowledge reality. Be honest. But then, and this is the key, preach truth to your soul. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I just want to encourage us to turn our post-Christmas letdown into a post-Christmas pursuit. To pursue God daily. To meet with him face to face. To show up consistently to worship. To choose community. Engage in the upcoming series, not because you're broken, but because you're human. Don't walk into 2026 with memories of what a great year it was. Yes, you can think about that, but let's be thirsty for the living God this year. Christmas may be over, but God is not distant. Hope is not gone, and your story is not finished. So today with the psalmist, we say together, put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for just allowing us to be here today. And God, as we begin this new year, may we begin it with a singular purpose, that as the car runs on fuel, as we fill up the truck this week, the car, may we be a reminder that our soul runs on you. And God, I pray for honesty. Some of us are really struggling. And Lord, may we be open and real with you and maybe someone we trust. God, I pray that you would be with those that are in a difficult valley. Thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted and save to those that are crushed in spirit. Lord, help us to talk to ourselves in a productive way. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed? Where are you putting your hope? Put your hope in God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are our source and our strength. So today is Communion Sunday, and we've been talking about how just as a car was made to run on fuel, that we were made to run on Jesus, that he is our soul fuel. And in addition, because of his sacrifice on the cross, we've been forgiven and can enter into a relationship with him. The word communion means sharing in common. And here's what we share in common today. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus. What about children? We leave this in the hands of parents. As long as you feel like your children understand what's actually going on, that this isn't about just drinking juice and bread. It's actually about worshiping the Lord. Gluten-free wafers are available. We use juice, not wine. We're going to have a diagram up front on the screen, that shows you where to go. Once you get the elements, we're going to have you come forward and get those. Go back to your seat and be in prayer. And again, this is a time to pray. Maybe just ask the Lord to examine your heart. Is there anything you need to confess to him? This isn't about being perfect. It's about being honest. So let's just take a moment and worship the Lord through communion.
Draw me close to you.
never let me go. I lay it all down again. I hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Nothing else could take your place. You feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you.
Never used one of these things, you just push down on it like that. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and said, "This is my body, which is you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread, remembering that Jesus is the bread of life. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the drink together. Lord, thank you for the love that was revealed through your sacrifice. God, we acknowledge that just as a car runs on fuel, that we run on you. Help us to walk in your love this week. We love you, Jesus. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So with the new year, I started kind of reading from Genesis, you know, the goal with reading through the Bible this year. And maybe some of you have had that goal. And again, this is a great time to start Bible reading. But I came across Genesis 4, and it talked about Cain and Abel. And how God was pleased with Abel's offering, but not Cain's. And I thought, here's the question. Will God be pleased with our offerings this year? Something to think about, huh? So we're going to now worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. Here's a few ways that you can give, and then the ushers will come in a few moments to collect your tithes and offerings.
'Cause you're old. You're all I've ever needed.
thank you so much for worshiping with us. Again, next week we start our series called The Four Keys to Mental Health. I don't know if you know this, but there's like a crisis nationwide when it comes to mental health. So many people are wrestling with this. So you could help fill an open chair next week just by inviting someone. And we'll have friends up here to pray with you if you'd like someone to pray with you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great week.
You're all I want. You're all
help me.
Help me know you.